This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Later in the program, we'll hear from former NPR host Noelle King about her new podcasting role. But first, May 20th is National Bike to Work Day. For some greater Cincinnati residents, though, Bike to Work Day is every day. Joining me to discuss bike commuting in the tri-state are avid cycling commuter and Queen City Bike president Joe Humbert. Welcome, Joe.
Hi.
Bicycle commuter and Queen City Bike board member Daniel Iroh. Thanks for being here, Daniel.
Thank you. Hello.
And Tri-State Trails Director Wade Johnson. Welcome back, Wade.
Hey, thanks for having me.
If you have questions or comments, you can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at wvxu.org. Wade, I'd like to start with you. How many people do bike to work routinely in Greater Cincinnati, and is that number growing?
Yeah, the best source of data that we have for this is from the census. The American Community Survey collects information about how many people commute by different modes of transportation. And typically, bike commuting is less than 1% in the Cincinnati MSA region. And I would draw that connection to maybe what some would perceive as a low number to the fact that our infrastructure is still developing in Cincinnati. And we're currently building out a really well-connected trail network. Work with the Crown and the city of Cincinnati and other cities are building out on-road bike infrastructure that will be connected. So I believe that that number is going to rise significantly over the years as the infrastructure connects where people live to where they need to go, like employment centers, downtown and uptown. But right now, we do have a very strong community of cycling commuters who ride on a regular basis. It just might be a smaller number than you might expect.
There you go. And it sounds like so many people are working on improving this infrastructure. Wade, why do we want to encourage more of this? I mean, some people choose to commute to work on a bicycle for lifestyle choices, for their health, because, you know, for environmental concerns. Some people choose to for economic reasons, because it's more economical than trying to own a car. Why do we want to encourage more of this?
Simply put, I think riding a bike for transportation is fun. It makes your day a little more of an adventure than sitting in a car. And I don't know about you or your listeners, but I own a car and I do drive in this town. And whenever I drive in a car, it kind of makes me anxious. you get into experiences with traffic and congestion and people driving recklessly. And it's just stressful. Inducing. And when you're on a bike, especially on a comfortable street or on the bike trail, it makes for a really wonderful experience where you get to experience the built environment in a different way. So fundamentally, I think it's just a more pleasant experience than driving. But like you mentioned, there's so many benefits to riding your bike. Right now, there's a perfect reason to do it, and that's that gas prices are through the roof. And riding a bike, I like to calculate my fuel consumption for biking in miles per burrito versus miles per gallon of gas. And let me tell you, a Chipotle burrito can get you pretty far. But
yeah. It can also give you gas, though.
but then it's also like the ability to get out and to save the environment, to get a workout in. There's just so many benefits to riding your bike.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to Daniel and Joe, who are our commuters here on the panel. Daniel, if you could come a little bit closer to your microphone and tell us what made you start to decide that you wanted to bike to work every day?
Well, for me, it wasn't for a specific reason. It was just my love for riding. And I just it just occurred to me one day that I could be riding to work instead of trying to find another means of transport. So I decided I was going to give it a go and plan a route and see if it was feasible just to even try to get to work. And I discovered that it was actually much easier than I thought it would be. And the biggest issue for me was I just had to wake up a little earlier than I would have normally. And it was in my advantage to do that anyway, because I'm a bit of a morning person. So I would rather spend that being in the outdoors in the mornings than being stuck in a vehicle on my way to work.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this, and how long is your commute?
I've been a commuter in Cincinnati for about 5 years now. And I have a quite long commute, even by my standards. it's a 20-mile trip each way.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a lot of burritos.
Yeah, it's a really long one. But yeah. I wouldn't trade it. I enjoy it. I love being out on the country roads and just being able to smell the fresh air, so to speak.
Well, there you go. How about you, Joe? Do you commute on your bike every day to work? What's your situation?
I do. I don't own a car, and I have family and friends in town who, if I need to borrow a car to run some bigger errands, that's available to me. But I never really let go of that feeling of freedom that you got when you got your first bike and you were a kid and you could get a lot farther than walking. And, you know, whether it was connecting to the park or the pool or, you know, there's a pizza restaurant near the house that I would go to with friends in grade school. We could make our own way. We didn't have to wait for someone to drive us somewhere. And it does give you a great deal more freedom because you can roll through a parking lot or across a sidewalk or through a field or through somebody's backyard. And that sort of wayfinding has always been exciting to me. And I love looking at different routes and trying to change things up and show people new ways to get around.
Yeah. And so how long is your commute to work, and how long have you been commuting to work? It sounds like forever you've been commuting to work that way.
This week and last, I'm teaching a course at Xavier University, and from where I live in Dayton to Xavier is about 7 miles each way. So many times interspersed with that are meetings or errands or some of the other things I do to make money in the gig economy. Mm-hmm. So it's not a specific number like Daniel's, where he is like a 9-to-5 employer. But this has been a busy week, and I've been all over town doing events and engagements like this for Bike Month, and you know I'm getting close to 50 miles a day, especially if we have like last night we had a group ride that we led, so that it just sort of tacks it on.
Yeah, well, and you said Dayton. I assume you mean Dayton, Kentucky, not Dayton, Ohio.
Yes,
that's good.
I don't clarify because I'm championing Dayton, Kentucky as its own entity. And I'm tired of the question like, oh, you're in Ohio.
I appreciate that. I just thought 7 miles sounded like an awfully short commute from Dayton, Ohio to Xavier. And so I thought for anybody who thought, what? How in the heck did he do that? Maybe he has a hover bike or something.
Yeah.
Those
e-bikes will take you far.
Yeah, there you go. Joe, what are some of the different challenges for commuters who bike by choice versus biking by necessity? There are some people who bike because maybe they can't afford a car. There are lots of reasons folks might bike to work. Are there different challenges for people in that different situation?
I think a lot of the question there comes down to your preparedness for inclement weather or even a very hot day, maybe. Mm. So for persons who don't have the means to afford a personal automobile, their money to spend on gear is going to be different. So they might be riding their bike in what looks like street clothes and maybe an inexpensive poncho. Occasionally you'll see an individual just like with their head poked through a big trash bag. Mm. And they're making the same sorts of adaptations to accommodate different conditions as more well-heeled cyclists. But they're doing it in a way that in many ways is more creative and adaptive and beautiful and consumes fewer resources. I know some people in the cycling community who have a different bike for every kind of riding they do and a different outfit for every kind of bike. And it's like sometimes it can seem materialistic, but if you're a dedicated commuter, you acquire certain pieces of your wardrobe or your gear that are very durable, that can be used year round, that can be used effectively in layering strategies for the temperature and the weather changes in Cincinnati. I don't need to remind your listeners are legendary. And for instance, this morning we started with, below 60 and raining, and it's supposed to be sunny and 75 in the afternoon. And you have to figure out ways to accommodate that to ride comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, how do you adapt to that, to the weather with such a long commute and some of the other challenges that, you face on a 20-mile each way kind of commute to work?
A good point Joe brought up is the improvisation. I don't necessarily believe in having like all the gear, and I find that not as accessible for everyone. And because of that, I try and make alternatives to that. And like, for example, during the winter months, for I wear pants that are made for runners, like the thermal pants, and those are great alternatives to like the cycling specific ones. And I would add much cheaper as well, but they do the exact same job. So I try and find alternatives to my gear that makes it more conducive to commute all year round as a result.
And this is going to sound like a goofy question, but I think it's one been on my mind and a lot of people's minds who aren't
That's
bike
why
commuters.
We're here.
There you go. How do you handle it? You're biking 20 miles to work. That's a long bike ride. You're obviously, you've been doing it a long time, so maybe you don't break a sweat. I would be a big sweaty mess.
I do break a sweat, and that's why when I first started commuting, I used to commute in my work clothes. But that method proved really, really cumbersome, especially during the summer months. And it was alluded to earlier, the weather in Cincinnati can be quite unpredictable. So you don't want to be the guy who walks into the office soaking wet from the rain, which happens quite a lot to me. So I have a system where I leave clothes at work. I am fortunate enough that I have a large enough desk at work where I can make a provision under my desk where I leave some clothes and a pair of shoes as well. So every couple of weeks, I travel with a bigger bag on my bike, and I call it my laundry days at work, and I take out the dirty clothes over there and swap them out for new ones. So I don't have to carry my work clothes with me every day. I can just ride my bike, and if I want to go for a group ride after work, that makes it much easier because I'm not burdened with a lot of luggage every single day.
Yeah. Wade, I want to come back to you. What are things that either communities or businesses could do to make it easier for people to commute by bike?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say my most logical answer to that is in bike infrastructure. So thinking about bike trails, protected bike lanes, those are the types of facilities that most individuals are looking for to consider making that choice to bike. The folks who you have on the phone call here are the folks who are fearless and confident, who will ride in any condition, and we are very fortunate to have them in our region. And I think that there's a larger constituency of people who are interested in riding their bike recreationally and might be cautious or nervous about riding with traffic. And so in order to meet those people where they are and encourage them to make that choice to bike, it's really about feeling safe and feeling comfortable. And overwhelmingly, the feedback that we hear is that the general public is not interested in riding next to vehicles. And so that's why we've been pushing really hard with projects like Crown to build a protected trail network around the city. And why I think the city of Cincinnati is shifting their approach to infrastructure from standard bike lanes that is just paint, like what you see on Delta Avenue or Riverside Drive, or shared road markings with pavement markings like Madison Road, and some other streets, to protected bike lanes where there's a physical separation from cars, like on Central Parkway or Clifton Avenue. And so that's like getting to the destination, but there's also bike parking is something that communities need to think about so that when you arrive at your destination, you can lock your bike up securely. And for cyclists, one of the big benefits to biking is being able to arrive virtually at the front door, not having to drive around and look for a parking spot on the street or pay for parking in a garage. And so we're starting to see that shift in communities thanks to the support of the DeVu Good Foundation, for example, who has donated bike racks to both Covington, Newport, and the city of Cincinnati to help make that end destination more bike friendly.
And Joe and Daniel, I want to ask each of you this. I'll start with you, Joe. What are your concerns about safety when you're out cycling all the different places you go? And are there some places in the region that are more challenging when it comes to safety and feeling like you're safe on your bike than other places?
Absolutely. I ride all over town. I'm what is generally regarded as a type A rider, which means I don't shy away from busy streets and I tend to take the lane. I encourage others to do the same when possible. Obviously, what Wade mentioned about overcoming that obstacle and building more confidence can happen much more easily with protected infrastructure, but we'll never have protected infrastructure from every point A to every point B, just as we'll never have interstate highways that connect you to your front door. So we need to show folks how to ride safely and how to ride safely in traffic. And I think that increasing numbers of cyclists riding in traffic, and even things like the proliferation of the e-scooters in town, get drivers looking for things other than cars. Mm-hmm. Red Bike is a great example, too, where folks, even if they're using it for short trips or recreation in the urban basin, in the center city and downtown, you see something other than a car or a pedestrian on the sidewalk, and you realize, like, drivers have greater responsibilities to other road users, vulnerable road users, and need to behave differently around them. So it's a chicken and egg question, but I've always tried to be on the omelet side with that, and I kind of charge into it. And there are certainly intersections. Wade mentioned the Clifton Avenue protected bike lane. The intersection of Martin Luther King and Clifton was redesigned about a decade ago, and there are improvements that could be made for traffic calming, especially with this new intersection of an active transit pathway.
Mm. And what about you, Daniel? How safe do you feel when you're out doing all this cycling that you do? And are there places where you feel more safe than others?
Yeah, I was going to piggyback on what Joe was talking about earlier about raising more awareness for other road users besides drivers. Mm-hmm. It's very notable to me that when I'm out on the roads, most drivers don't expect to see a cyclist in front of them. And many times it feels like they don't know what to do when there's a cyclist in front of them, which shouldn't be the case. So I think there has to be more awareness of other road users besides vehicles on the road. So and also pertaining to road laws, most drivers don't even know what rules are there regarding how to deal with like cyclists on the road. There's been many times where I've been overtaken by a vehicle and it was too close for comfort. And Ohio, for example, has a law about how many feet you can give a cyclist when passing, but that seems to be not in general notice to many drivers. So awareness of laws like that would help, and that's why I think Bike Month especially and advocacy organizations regarding pedestrian and cycling safety are important to bring up that awareness to road users just to make cyclists feel more comfortable on the road.
Mm-hmm. Joe, did you want to add something else?
Yes, I wanted to mention that the city of Cincinnati has sort of re-energized its bike plan and is giving it some major revisions under the leadership of Mayor Aftab Perival and council members like Mark Jeffries. And they're currently requesting input on a series of surveys that's sort of going neighborhood by neighborhood to look at potential links, new protected bike lanes, new protected infrastructure, And there's an opportunity to give for the public to give feedback on that through their through the city's website. And if you look up the bike and pedestrian program, it will get you to those surveys. I think currently they're looking at the north central part of town, but they've done downtown and west side. And the maps are very instructive. Even if you're not familiar with a neighborhood, it's interesting to look and see what sorts of connections could be valuable for active transit users. And I would encourage all your listeners to check that out and give some feedback.
And also to piggyback on that, Tri-State Trails is coming out with a new bike map for the city as well, which I encourage anyone who's looking to get into commuting to check out. It's really helpful to determine what roads to take, especially because, like you were saying earlier, not all roads are created equal for cycling. And as such, the more safer streets you are on, the better you feel cycling on the roads and the more safe you are. So a resource like that would be really helpful for up-and-coming commuters as well. Mm.
And Joe, how different are the resources or the infrastructure in Northern Kentucky versus Cincinnati? For example, you said you live in Dayton, the correct Dayton, south of the river. What are some of the things that are there things that Kentucky has going for it that Ohio doesn't, or where are the resources on that side of the river?
I think the issues are very different. You have a number of smaller municipalities, so. It's in some ways we can be more nimble, and in communities like Covington and Dayton, they've developed sections of the Riverfront Commons Trail in a really visually striking way that is inviting to, you know, even recreational users. It's sort of that irresistible staircase. If the trail looks beautiful, if it's well designed and fun to ride on, and has some like curves and little hills, it's really it invites people out on, you know, out onto the trail and to be active. Some of the municipalities in Northern Kentucky are a little more hesitant or not as well funded. And that's why regional initiatives supported by organizations like Tri-State Trails and the DeVue Good Foundation, initiatives like the Crown and Connections are going to bring more people access.
Great.
And safe access.
We've been talking with avid cycling commuter and Queen City Bike President Joe Humpert, bicycle commuter Daniel Iroh, and Tri-State Trails Executive Director Wade Johnson. Thank you all so much for joining us today. This is Cincinnati Edition.